and our focus will be verses 15 to 17. There's a whole conglomeration of exhortations in the last part of Ephesians. We noted that in the first part of Ephesians, there was one exhortation for about three chapters. But toward the end of the book, he includes one exhortation after another. And we're looking at the ones that appear in verses 15 to 17 tonight. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning with verse 15 to 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. If a fifth grader does something really stupid that hurts another person, let's say he does something like flicks a pencil in a certain direction, which hits a girl in the eye. If you challenge him about it and you ask him, why did you do that? He'll say, I don't know. And in a sense, that's true. He doesn't know. He didn't think about it. Impulse came into the mind and he did it. And he doesn't know why. And so he's not just being stubborn and holding back. He doesn't know. He hasn't thought. Also, when you point out to him the harm that was done, he'll say, I didn't mean to. And again, he's right in a way. He didn't mean to. He didn't intend the consequences that came. Because he didn't think, and he did it without thinking. He didn't know why he did it. And when he did something he didn't really plan to do, then he doesn't know why, he didn't mean to do it. In a sense, it's true. But of course, that's all part of teaching a fifth grader. They're things they have to think before they do things. They have to recognize that there are consequences. They've got to pursue the right course. And that's a part of being a fifth grader. You don't hate them for it, you just recognize that's part of the job. Well, that came to mind with regard to this passage, not because there's any fifth graders in it, but sorting these things out are a part of what it is to be a Christian. There's a way of life that Paul is talking about. And we don't do things without knowing why. And we aren't careless of the consequences of what comes. That's part of being grown up, but it's really part of being a Christian. And so we want to look at these things because older people do do things like that sometimes. Sometimes they do act without thinking. And sometimes they do lament the consequences that they didn't really mean, but they happened, and they might have known they would. And God challenges us with regard to these things. He really does that in this passage. And in fact, it's useful to look at what it says in verse 15, and the second point is what it says in verse 16, and the third point is what it says in verse 17. So it's 15, 16, and 17. We really want to look at each of those verses. Not a very complicated message at all, but I trust it will be helpful to us. Let's read them again and then ask the Lord to help us in thinking about them. This is verse 15 of chapter 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let's pray. Lord, we know your every word is profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into every good work. And when you speak specifically to us, Lord, we long to have ears to hear. Help us. Help us understand how you're directing us to live. Grant us grace, we pray. And in these things, help us look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the help that we need, but also look to him as his life shows us the way that we should live. And our real desire is not just to fulfill some rule, but to be like him. So help us, we pray, and grant us your Holy Spirit as we look at these things tonight. We thank you for the privilege of studying your word. and we pray you'll help us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's look first at verse 15, where it says, "Be very careful then how you live." And that's not really speaking about being alert lest your life should be a danger. Careful is something, be careful that's hot. Well, that's not the careful it means. It means be thoughtful and full of care concerning how you live. It matters how you live. It matters the decision you make. It's a matter of being shrewd and purposeful. Well, actually, the word shrewd is one that captures a lot of what it means to be careful, but shrewd has a negative interpretation. It's like shrewd thinking carefully to accomplish some devious end. Shrewd usually is used in that way. And if you can have the thought of being careful to accomplish a particular end, being concerned to gear things in the direction that you want them to go, that's the idea of being careful. It's not to protect yourself from danger. It's be full of care concerning how you live. Actually, this is a small group, and I don't think there's any posterity that's going to look down upon us. And I know Randy Hoffman won't mind if I mention him, because he has a wonderful quality of anticipating what might be questions and answering them. Now, this he uses. Sometimes he uses it in spiritual ways that are really wonderful. If you know him, you'll really like him. I don't see how anybody wouldn't like Randy. But Randy Hoffman, he sells used cars. And all his working life, he sold used cars, and he's maintained a powerful testimony for Christ. Wonderful fellow. I hope he won't listen to this, because I don't want him to hear me. But you can say to him, I talked to him behind his back, and don't encourage him to listen to the thing that I appreciate. Thinking before and being wise in the way he responds. The way that works out in selling a used car is you think of what might the person be thinking, and you answer the question before it comes. One time I bought a car with him that had a trailer hitch on the back. He realized he should check out what they hauled with that vehicle. I bought a used one, obviously. What did they haul with the vehicle? And so he found out. They normally hauled kayaks to their summer home. Well, I realized then it's not necessarily a heavy load he's carrying. Well, why did he check that out? Because he knew I'd wonder. Sooner or later, I'd wonder about what kind of wear and tear in this car. I didn't think about it at the time, but I realized he thought about it. This car that I got from him has a moonroof. Well, actually, I always thought of it as a sunroof, but somehow when he said moonroof, it sounded different. And I didn't think in terms of the sun glaring down. I thought of the pleasant evening with the thing open and seeing the moon. It somehow put it in a different light, and I thought that was very wise. That's a way to sell the thing. Now, he didn't only do this when he's trying to sell something. It's part of a service that he did. He was that kind of person. That's why you trusted him. And in fact, he often sought to use what skills he had to further the gospel and encourage people to Jesus. That's why we love him. And he's certainly been that. But there was a shrewdness. There was a wisdom. There was a carefulness which I admired in him. And that's the kind of thing that came to mind. I don't think he'll mind my having mentioned him. I only had good things to say. But it's a quality some of us will have recognized in him and have recognized in other people. A carefulness, a purposefulness, anticipating questions and living in such a way as you anticipate and answer before it's needed. That's the kind of thing that's caught up in that wonderful word, be careful then how you live. Careful in that kind of sense. And he's an example that came to my mind. When you're going at what you're going after is living for Jesus. We need to be watchful in terms of living for Jesus. His whole goal is live for Jesus. Be watchful, be careful. Be very careful then how you live. Verse 17 tells us, verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Not like the fifth grader who's, when you ask him why he did, I don't know. Not as unwise, but as wise. in a shrewd sort of way, making the most of every opportunity, anticipating the questions. That's the kind of thing we're challenged to. That's a wonderful thing. Don't you wish you had it more? Don't you wish that were more characteristic of your life? Can't you look back to times you've made decisions and done things and you wish you hadn't? You've moved in a direction that you're sorry about now. Well, why did you do that? Well, perhaps had you been more careful in this kind of way. And Paul encourages us, be very careful then how you live. Then he goes on in verse 16 to making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I thought of somebody else that we know with regard to making the most of every opportunity. Maybe this is cheating. Maybe I'm making it too easy to preach on this because I'm just using an illustration that you'll know. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. Ken Ashcroft. He made the most of every opportunity. I drove him places at times where we stopped and did things, or in times that he just told me about his adventures coming to here. He often stayed at our house when he came to preach, and he'd tell about adventures he had, and I realized this man made the most of every opportunity. He always had opportunities to speak of Christ. He spoke of Christ to everybody. If he had a flat tire and the tire had to be changed, he talked about Jesus to the fellow that changed the tire. If he needed to buy something, he found a way to talk to the person about Jesus. That's the thing I always felt, how far short I fell in terms of what I ought to be. He made the most of every opportunity. Was there any chance to speak to a human being? That human being is an eternal soul either going to heaven or hell, and they need to hear the gospel. He believed that, and his whole life spoke of that. And their concern, he and his wife, make Christ known. And they took advantage of every opportunity. And they'll always be an example of that for me. Taking advantage of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Good description of the days in which we live. We live in a broken age. We live in an age where there are many unhappy people. We live in an age where the people that are happy are pretending to be happy because, in fact, they're brokenhearted in so many ways. And the people that, when you say to them how you're doing, they say living the dream. They are not telling you the whole picture because you don't live the dream in this world. This world is a difficult world and a trying world and a painful world and a tiring world and a disappointing world and a grief-stricken world and a broken world and a bad world in so many ways. And Paul spoke about his own day. The days are evil. The days we live in are evil. The days are evil, full of sorrow and unhappiness. And he says, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Why should you and I speak to people about Christ? Because they need him deeply. Because their lives are broken. Because they are struggling with a weakness that they are embarrassed about but they can't handle. Because they're in a world that is twisted and confused. And because they're messed up and they're living in a world that's messed up. That's the days they're living in. And is that a motivation to speak to them of Jesus? Well, that's what Ken Ashcroft always did. He didn't see people as self-sufficient and doing fine and having no needs. He just saw people as people that need Christ. And I always admired him for that. Admire him still. Haven't contacted him in a long time, but admire him still. For one that saw that the days are evil, that people need the Lord. We've sung about people needing the Lord before. We know that song. The days are evil for everybody. People are struggling. Remember Dr. Herder at our seminary saying, the people of God always need encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody's struggling. Everybody's having a hard time. It just isn't true that anybody sails through. And we're reminded of that when we think of the fact that the days are evil. It's the kind of days you and I live in. Paul lived in those days, and they were dreadful in many ways. many opportunities he had because he was a citizen of Rome. He had opportunities and he took advantage of where he could. And there's times that his life abounded and other times when it was brought down. He went lived through all different kinds of difficulties and needs and struggles. The days are evil. Isn't that Lord of the troubled sea? Doesn't it speak to your heart? Don't you relate to that poetry? Maybe you're not into poetry. Doesn't that poetry speak to you? Lord of the troubled sea, the burning sand, screaming pain. Maybe by God's mercy we're not enduring those things exactly now, but we have an idea what they are. And we realize those are the struggles, the difficult. It's an evil time. It's not just annoyances. It's difficulties that all of us face. And so when Paul says the days are evil, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Everybody's facing evil times and they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Lord would make us to realize that so that our responses are more like Ken Ashcroft's. He looked at people as those who need Jesus. And Paul looked at people as those that need Jesus. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We go on to verse 17 in the passage and it says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, for Ken, again, he came back to mind because he knew what the will of the Lord was, to reach people for Christ. He had a focus. That was his life. He and his wife, laboring together, reach people for Jesus Christ. He knew the will of the Lord. Well, that is the will of the Lord for us too. But we're not all called to be evangelists, and we're not all called in the same way to minister in the way that Ken did. But our goal is to live for Christ. The will of the Lord is that we live for Jesus Christ. We deny ourselves and follow him. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, that's the will of the Lord for us. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. And Paul challenges us to know the will of God. He says, do not be foolish. Really, regarding the meaning of life and the purpose of life as anything else is foolish. How can our life be concerned primarily for gaining wealth? How could that be somebody's whole life? Just to have more money? We see people that have got a great deal of money. Is that really all it's about? Is there something about that that's satisfying? We know it can't be. It's foolish to think that. How about possessions that I have a wonderful collection. That's the important thing in life. Really? It's foolish. Anything that you live for that isn't a living for God is foolishness. And that's what Paul saw. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's wonderful, an example like Ken Ashcroft in terms of the will of the Lord is witness for Jesus. And that is a part of what God called us to do. But the will of the Lord is in every area of my life living for him. Seeing what I am and what God wants me to be. What place in life God's put me in. And what does God say to people in that place? We mentioned that in another message. I'm a son. Does the Bible speak about how I deal with my parents? I'm a brother. Does the Bible speak about brothers? I'm a member of a church. Does the Bible say anything about the way I'm to relate to people at church? I'm a Christian. Does the Bible say anything about how a Christian ought to live? That's the whole point. We mentioned it before, and that's really understanding the will of the Lord. It's what am I? What did he make me to be? And how does he want me to be it? And when I recognize what I am by the grace of God, then I say, how does God help me to do that? I'm married. I have a responsibility to be a Christian husband. I'm a father. Responsibility to be a Christian father, grandfather, responsibility to be a Christian. Yeah, the will of the Lord is not hard to figure out. You don't have to, oh Lord, show me what your will is. He's told us what his will is. What are we, and what does God say to such people? We've mentioned that before, and I know that it's always been a help to me to recognize this is how you know the will of God for your life. What gifts, what abilities do you have? What does God want a person with that ability to do? What strengths do you have? What does God want a person with that strength to do? What weakness do you have? What does God want a person with those weaknesses to do? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bible says for us to be smart, to embrace every opportunity, to realize that the world is no friend to grace, and to understand what the will of the Lord is, to do it. Those are very easy, that's a very easy passage to look at today, very clear what it says. But you know, it's telling us not simply to fulfill some obligation, not for simply to be a better person. Actually, the society does try to get us to be a better person. They try to expose hate crimes and punish hate crimes, make people more loving in that way, right? But of course, it doesn't make anybody more loving to have somebody track you down for your hate crimes and punish you. Those things do not make a loving person. People ought to have other areas of responsibility. It's not a matter of passing laws and making people obey. It's a matter of wanting to be a different kind of person. And Paul helps us to be what kind of person we ought to be, because he challenges us in ways like this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Very simple passage. May God enable us to take it to heart, because it will help us in so many ways to be more like Jesus. Jesus was very careful how he lived. We know that. Do always the things that please my Father. There were no things that the Lord Jesus did that are not for us an example of how life ought to be lived. He came to live the perfect life that we don't live. And we observe his life in the scripture. And it's not that he came just as an example. We can't fully obey his example or be what his example was. He came to do it in our place. But he is an example. And he does call us to be like, we're called to be like Jesus, to be like him. Paul sought to be like him and even was bold enough to say, follow my example. The things you've seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. We're to be examples of others. Jesus came to be an example of what a Christian, what a person ought to be. And Jesus knew what was in a man. The Bible is so clear as to say, Jesus didn't need a testimony about what a man was like. He knew what was in a man. He was very careful how he lived, not as unwise, but wise. If we do like this, we'll be more like Jesus. Careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. Jesus sought always to please his Father. It says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Didn't he speak about laboring while it's still daylight, the night coming when no man can labor? Didn't he say, I must be about my Father's business? Wasn't he diligent to try to find what he's supposed to do and do it? Wasn't that his drive continually? Does Paul exhort us to something different from what Jesus was? No, it's what Jesus was. Jesus was one who was very careful how he lived, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Certainly above anybody, he knew that the days are evil. He came, the spotless Son of God, to live in the midst of this world and to see the things we have to see. And where we react with horror sometimes to them, what about the spotless Son of God beholding such things in fallen humanity? Jesus was like this, understanding what God's will is, not being foolish. The Lord Jesus Christ came not to do his own will, but the will of his Father. Doesn't he declare that for us? The Son of Man came not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent me. So in these things, if we follow what Paul is saying, we're really following a encouragement to be like Jesus. We look to him for forgiveness where we fall, and we live, look to him as the example to live the life that will honor and praise him. And we, like Jesus, are very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. May God enable us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness that we need, given how far short we fall, but for the example that we need to live the kind of life we ought to live. Our own hearts witness against us. We ought to be like that. May the Lord give us grace to look to him for strength, actually to be like that. Therefore, actually to be what God's challenge is to be in passages like this. Let me read it one more time, and we'll commit it to the Lord in prayer. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the friendship of a couple of men that I've mentioned tonight, who've been an example to me. Thank you for Randy. We do pray your continued blessing upon him, and that you'll help him to live to the end, serving and honoring Jesus. We do pray for Ken in his old age, that you'll be with him and encourage him. We know his heart still desires to reach out for Christ, and we're sure that the people at the greengrocer hear about Jesus from him. Thank you that he understood the will of God for him, and he pursued it. Lord, there are people in this congregation who understand the will of God for them and pursue it. And there's those in our assembly who desire from the heart to live for Jesus and are an example to one another. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the evidence of the reality of Christ in the lives of so many in our assembly. We do bless you and worship you and thank you. Lord, we do want to be like Jesus. We do want to be careful how we live. We want to live not as unwise, but as wise. We want to pursue every opportunity to serve you, and we recognize the days as evil. Lord, we desire your help to be what you want us to be, not to be foolish, but to understand your will. Lord, work in these things for us, we pray. Grant us grace that these things may be more and more a part of our lives. We know that these things will help us to be what we really at heart want to be, long to be, and look forward to being, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, we pray. Work in us and be with us, we ask, as we think about these things. In Jesus' name, amen.